Jesus famously said one time, you got to follow the narrow way. What is the narrow way? What does he mean by that? If I follow the narrow way, will I become a narrow-minded, narrow world kind of person? No, not at all. And that's why I'm thrilled about what we're going to talk about in this video. We're turning now to this, the entire last portion in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is making really, really clear that decision that lies before every human being. Will you decide that the most important thing in your life, the greatest opportunity ever offered to a human being, is to actually do what it is that I say that Jesus said? Or is it something else? And we begin with these words that are very troubling to a lot of really thoughtful people. Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. When I was growing up, there used to be this bit about this real fundamentalist hellfire and brimstone preacher. There's a broad road, and that leads to destruction. Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Somebody would say, brother preacher, what about them that ain't got no teeth? It's bad news for the gums, in short. But a lot of people think that what Christianity teaches is that there is such a thing as exclusive truth, and that certain behaviors are immoral, and these are forbidden by Christianity, and that means that it impinges on the freedom of everybody. It tells me these are things I have to think, and these are things I have to do, and then people who don't do that are in big trouble, and I shouldn't hang around them. Rousseau, the French thinker Jean-Jacques Rousseau, said it is impossible to be loving or tolerant or kind towards people that I think are damned. And so this is real troubling for people. And very often in our day, the solution to this is thought to be, let's just deny the possibility of absolute truth. Because that's what makes people say, I'm right and you're wrong. But if we just say, you know what, I have my truth and you have your truth and nobody really knows for sure, then nobody can really say that anybody else is wrong, and that will help us to be more tolerant. Now, here's what's interesting about Jesus. On the one hand, there was this tremendously clear, focused, narrow, exclusive belief about God. He would say in John 17:3, this is eternal life, to know you, the only true God. There is a God, he can be known, he is true. Other gods, to the extent that they're thought to be different, we're on the wrong path with that. And then the people should know Jesus Christ whom you sent. Or maybe most famously, most controversially, he said in the Gospel of John, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And the idea there is not the only way to get to heaven is affirming certain things about me. It's if you want to know what God is like, then listen to what I have to say about this. So Jesus is tremendously narrow in this way. On the other hand, he was extraordinarily broad-minded in his relationships with people. What actually got him killed as much as anything else, got him into huge trouble with religious authorities, is that the very people that they would exclude, Jesus would include. He would touch lepers, and they would never do that. And he would allow a known sinful woman to bathe his feet with her tears and dry them with her hair. He would do favors for Roman centurions. He was a friend of tax collectors and sinners. He was unbelievably narrow in his devotion to God, but unbelievably broad-minded in his relationships with people. Now, those of us who follow him are often not that way. Dave Kinneman with the Barna Group did some research looking at how divided we are as a culture and how what a hard time we have having natural and normal conversations with other people. It splits folks into groups. The people who have the hardest time having natural and normal conversations with other people are actually evangelical Christians. And that's true not just for people of other religions or other approaches to sexuality or so. 28% of all evangelical Christians say they have a hard time having a normal and natural conversation with another evangelical Christian. With Jesus, on the other hand, the longest conversation that we see him having with anybody in the Gospels is with a woman who has been married 5 times and is a Samaritan and is living with another man right now. And that's the person that he honors with this very, very personal, very deep, takes her very seriously conversation. In other words, Jesus, who is unbelievably narrow and focused in his devotion to the one true God, is unbelievably relaxed, inclusive, embracing of people. Now, why is that? Because other religious leaders in his day were not. Maybe he just wasn't a very consistent thinker, and so his actions didn't reflect what he taught. It's sometimes thought maybe he wasn't really as narrow or exclusive in his teaching about himself or God, and Paul or other people kind of retrofitted that back into his teaching. But maybe, just maybe, just maybe, Jesus's beliefs, his mental map about how things are in fact actually the foundation, precisely the reason why he loved and embraced other people so much. You will notice if you read through the New Testament that there is no command in it that says something like, be thou tolerant, or thou shalt be tolerant. Now, why is that? Well, it turns out that being tolerant is a pretty low bar. The soul does not crave to be tolerated. It craves to be celebrated. When I got married to my wife, my vow was not, and I promise to endure, put up with, and tolerate you for long as we both shall live. When our little children have a birthday, we don't go in and sing to them, I tolerate you, I tolerate you, I'm stuck with your existence, what else can I do? People are made to be celebrated, and that's at the core of love. And in fact, the very idea that people should be tolerated requires a foundation. Why do I think that? It's an important thing to offer someone tolerance, or to go beyond that, to offer them kindness or compassion or so. And that actually is a belief. That is a claim. And for Jesus, it was grounded in the notion that every human being was created in the image of God. And so they have this immense worth, and all are worthy of being loved and experiencing compassion and being included. I'll come to your table. I'll sit with you. I will celebrate you. I will care for you. I will heal you. I will listen to you. I will respect you. That was the great difference, see, between Jesus and so many other religious leaders in his day. And it is precisely the narrow way that he followed and the concreteness of his belief in God and that God made and loves all people that led him to this beyond tolerant embracing of folks. Now, what about the idea that only a few are going to find a narrow way? Does that mean that there's just going to be a couple of us up in heaven and I'm so glad I'm one of them and kind of glad to be part of an exclusive group? Oh, no, 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 no. And we'll get to that the next time. Today, I want to net it out. Here's what to do today. Today, celebrate people. Today is Celebrate People Day. Start with tolerance. When I feel judgmental or irritated towards somebody else, I just quite recently was with a group of friends and found myself getting irritated and angry, and I had to go back and do some repair work. Like, I was for a little while in the grip of this emotion, more attached to being right or thought to be right than I was to my relationship with you, and I'm so sorry. I just messed that up. I will give you a little framework. This is from Miroslav Volf's wonderful book, Exclusion and Embrace. He talks about one of the ways of thinking about Jesus is the very thing that made the religious leaders believe they were righteous was to exclude folks. But Jesus understood righteousness essentially as the offer to embrace the very people that they were excluding. Remember, we're going through the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest teaching that ever has been given to the human race. Unless your righteousness, your goodness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. So embrace is an act with 4 structural elements, Miroslav says. It begins when I open my arms. And that is, I open myself up. I empty myself of myself. I'm not just full of myself. I want to notice you. I want to think about you. I open my arms. And then secondly, I wait. Remember, our kingdoms begin with our little bodies. So embrace is an act of my little kingdom, but I honor your kingdom. I don't force you into it. And I have known stories about this. When people force an unwanted embrace on someone else, that is a bad violation of a kingdom. There's a vulnerability to it. I open arms, but then I wait. You get to choose. Do you respond? And then if you do, becomes a dance with two people, then I close my arms around you. I make space within my little kingdom for you, and I seek to offer you celebration and acceptance and loyalty and a kind of protection and a kind of nurture that happens when we embrace. That's a physical thing, but of course, in a very deep, unseen way, that's a spiritual thing. And then the fourth element in this dance is I release you. So I have not absorbed you or swallowed you up into just me, me, me. It's we. And it's I and thou, and you remain a thou. And so I release you. So today, as you go through this day, celebrate people. Look at folks. And if you have a problem, start with just tolerance. But then remember, image bearer, image bearer, image bearer, image bearer. And when you're able to do it, if it's somebody that you know and care about, make today a embrace day rather than an exclusion day. And offer a hug to folks. Wait, make sure that it's welcome. But then if it is, then do that just as a remembrance that our little kingdoms are made to embrace other little kingdoms. And then we become part of something so great beyond ourselves. And in fact, that is the narrow way. And we'll see more about that next time. I love you. Make it a golden rule day.
You've been listening to Become New with John Ortberg, where you can receive 10 minutes of daily teaching about the person you're becoming. If you like what you're hearing, you can head on over to our website, becomenew.com, where John has over 700 10-minute teachings on the person you're becoming, cataloged in 20 different series covering a range of topics you might be interested in. If you'd like to receive the emails that go along with each episode that include extra resources and discussion questions, you can let us know at becomenew.com/subscribe. Lastly, if you have a prayer request, there's a team of us who meet each weekday to pray for listeners just like yourself. You can send your specific request to us at the number 855-888-0444. I'm glad you're here, and we'll catch you next time.